Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buddy Elvin Silva coming up in about 20 minutes, talking some National Football League. We'll do some fantasy football as well. It's Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you, and let's take a look at the college football card. You know, it's one of these weeks, Sam, where there isn't one game or two games that is clearly above every other game, at least in my world. Maybe for you that is the case. I kind of think there is one game. Let's start there. Anyways, I was going to go there, so why the hell not? How about this move on Indiana? Like, you are in a trick spot. You've got the world pumping up your school, your Illini in football, something you haven't seen a lot in your life. Like, oh, all this noise. I mean, top 10 team, how high are we going to go? Let's talk Altmyer, Heisman. Like, this is ridiculous. It's going way too far. And you've pointed that out with point spreads this season early on, that you just disagreed with the number. And now here we sit. They're a six-point dog. The money keeps jumping up. At one point, was it yesterday? Wasn't it down to 3.5 where money was coming in on the other side, and now it's 6?
It was 3.5 early in the week, Monday or Tuesday. Since then, though, it's been bet up. I see a couple places 6.5 now. I don't know that we get to 7, but I don't know anything about this line. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I have them about equal on a neutral. I have Illinois like a point better, and home field it in the end touchdown. But maybe I'm just wrong, and I'm conservative on my pricing of Illinois. Like, I'm not ridiculous. I don't have them as a top 15 team in the country. Indiana's going to try and run the ball, though. Indiana's running for about 300 yards per game. Granted, have they played the best teams? No, but that's what they're going to try and do. And they can also get to the quarterback. And Illinois' offensive line has been very, very leaky at times. When you see a number that's so far off from your number, and then it keeps moving in the opposite direction, it just tells me my number's wrong on Illinois. Like, maybe I'm too high. But it has me in a pretzel, because I was happy to take Duke a couple weeks ago, getting the 3. And Duke was a disaster. Duke turned the ball over 5 times. Illinois kicked a hole in the wall in the second half. It just never looked back. I'm so perplexed by this one, because my numbers say that I should take Illinois, but I also don't like Illinois. It's a wild position I find myself in. I would like to, since we have them both here, we have an Illinois guy in Jake, a real Illinois guy in Jake, and a real Indiana guy in Brian Gerch. I'm curious to know how they both feel about this one. Maybe they can help paint the picture. Jake, getting 6 points, are you betting Illinois plus 6 or what?
Plus 6, I think I have to. Like, I was with friend of the show Isaac Trotter on Sunday, and we were talking about this game, and he's like, no, it's going to be 3. It might even be inside of 3. And I said, I agree, that's probably what it should be, but I don't think that's what it's going to be. And then we looked, and sure enough, it was 5.5 at the time. We both almost fell out of our chairs. I couldn't believe it. So as much as I think Illinois is getting overhyped, and there is a very high and narrow pedestal being built for Illinois to stand on, I think 6 is way too much. That's kind of crazy.
Gerch is adding in, Joe, 6 is crazy. No way. He's not going to lay 6. So the Illinois guy wants to take the 6. The Indiana guy wants no part of laying 6. which means Indiana is going to win by 14. That's what's going to happen.
But let's provide some context. It doesn't matter the opponent. It doesn't matter the point spread. Gertz will never, ever say bet Indiana, right?
Winless. Conference winless.
He has them going 0-9 in conference play.
They're getting steamed like the market has the paper on Sunday morning. That's how they're betting Indiana this week.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's fascinating. If it gets to 7, then are you in?
I'd take 7 for sure. I'd take 7. But they're betting this. The way this is being bet is Indiana rolls. And I'm not saying I agree. I'm being very clear. I have not made a single bet on this game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a pure power rating person, I would think you would lean into Illinois catching 6.5. I mean, home field at Indiana is probably worth about 4. So they're saying on a neutral, Indiana's 2 points better, 2.5 points better. I don't know that. I don't know. It's a line I just don't feel good about. And again, my numbers could be off. My numbers are off all the time because you have to catch up. I mean, you have your priors. You have your preseason numbers. And then you watch 3 games, and it's not like Illinois played anybody good yet. I mean, they played Western Illinois and Western Michigan and Duke. Now, Indiana hasn't played anybody either. I mean, Indiana's played Indiana State, and who did they beat 77-0? I can't even remember. Was that Indiana State maybe? I mean, they haven't been tested either. Neither team has been tested. So you're trying to move power ratings. Here we go. Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State. Woo! So you're trying to adjust power ratings when both teams really haven't played anybody. Now, Illinois does have a nice road win at Duke. That's a nicer win than anything Indiana has because Indiana hasn't even left Bloomington yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Indiana's 3 points better, give or take, on a neutral field. So that's where I'm coming from. But you also see Indiana get bet from 3.5 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 6.5, and you think, what the hell, man? What the hell?
Yep. When I see moves like that with teams like this, like my first thought is there some sort of information out there? Or it's just, you know, following the money where that's at, it just becomes an avalanche. I don't know. It's worth noting. It's probably going to come the other way, to your point. It's probably not going to get to 7. It's going to come the other way at some point. Is this peak? It might be. We might be sitting here on Saturday and looking at it and saying, ah, man, that was the top of the market right there on Thursday morning. All right, let's keep things rolling here. We talked some college football plays for this weekend. I want to talk about Miami and Florida. This number is the Canes favored by 7.5. On one side, you've got Miami getting a little respect. Sammy, you say not enough, and I certainly understand where you're coming from. This is a squad that scored 94 points in the last 2 weeks. 94, I repeat. Your guy Carson Beck in the running at the top 2 for the Heisman Trophy. All this South Florida love a week ago. It was an odd scenario with the long delay in that game. Just a beatdown. 49-12. Public in on South Florida, and Miami shows once again we're here and we're for real. And on the other side, you've got Florida. This is the exact same point spread for them, plus 7.5, that it was a week ago at LSU. Now they have to go to Miami. In the Miami game, Lagway is coming off a 5-pick performance. This offense has been putrid. Yes, a lot of it was Lagway last week, but they scored 10 points on LSU. Week before that, they score only 16 against South Florida. As I've looked at the 7.5 all week, I'm like, why is it just sitting there at 7.5? It is so difficult to back Florida at this point.
They got the money last week, and it didn't come home. Mm-hmm. Probably should have, considering they lost 20-10 and the quarterback had 5 picks. They probably should have covered. That's fair to say. And I didn't bet LSU or Florida. But when a team loses by 10, catching 8, 7.5, 7, 6.5, and so on, when your quarterback has 5 turnovers, Florida was probably the right side, considering they held LSU to 20. Didn't get there. That same faction of people that supported Florida last week are holding this thing at 7.5. Does it change your handicap that the shirtless wonder has Miami best bet this week?
You got to warn me if you're going to do that.
Okay,
it's his best bet?
I believe so, yes.
The shirtless wonder. Miami's the best bet. I worry for you. I worry for your Beck ticket. I worry for your Miami championship.
No. You're saying out right now? Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know.
Look, Florida's defense could keep this interesting. My concern with betting Florida is that Mario's team is legit loaded on both lines, both offense and defensive lines. They also, Miami has the ability to just turn Florida's lights out for recruiting purposes. They are not, if they have the chance for recruiting, they're going to try and blow this team out. They just did it to South Florida. Not that anybody's going to try and pick between USF and Miami, but there are recruits right now in the great state of Florida on the fence between Florida and Miami. And you bet your ass they're going to be locked into this game. And if Miami wins by 21 or more, it's going to flip recruiting. It's going to flip that for sure. So that has to be a part of the equation. I laid Miami last week at 17.5. Felt very good about it. I have not found myself yet on Miami that this week, in all seriousness. I have not.
All right. Let's keep things rolling here on Bet Sweats. How about Auburn, Oklahoma? Speaking of quarterbacks in the Heisman race, you got John Mateer here, a 6.5-point home favorite, total 47.5. They've got a cupcake next week. So Oklahoma, they've got an easy path here to a quick start before they get to the juggernaut is the heart of SEC play. But they do have a challenge this week, Auburn. Again, the number short of a touchdown at 6.5. We've talked a lot about Oklahoma in the first few weeks here on this show. What are your thoughts on Auburn? What kind of matchup are the Sooners in for?
I've never been a big Jackson Arnold fan, I'll be honest with you. And, of course, team now where he started his college career. I'm not interested in the dog. And I'm a dog player, as you know. Mm-hmm. This line just sitting sub-7, though, is crazy. You know, it hasn't quite gotten there. We're 6.5, and it's held steady. I have a feeling that Oklahoma is going to be in the room tomorrow. Oklahoma -6.5. So I'm not going to lay this point spread, but I was coming to this idea where, hey, why don't we just take our two teams that we have the quarterbacks? Why don't we parlay Oklahoma and parlay Miami? Just money line, money line. Is that the worst idea? Miami to win, Oklahoma to win is -110. Just win.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I like that
a lot. I do too. Yeah, I mean, that was a betting angle for Mateer, too. Like, I expect them to win this game. Win this game, take care of next week, and then you'll have plenty of opportunities to impress in front of the rest of the country. So I agreed with that idea weeks ago. So why not agree with it right now? Just need Miami. Lagway off a 5-INT performance. How's that going to change things? Like, are they going to try and dial it back with him, not put him in that position? They won't be able to keep up with Miami, so... Yeah, Miami should win, and I don't really care who's on that game. Yeah. Notre Dame, 0-2 on the season. They're laying 25.5 against Perdue. 25.5 in South Bend. If there is any sign of trouble early in this game, the Boo Birds are going to be there, man. There is a lot of heat. It might be wild to some, but trust me, there's a lot of heat on Freeman right now. He's sitting 0-2 after making the championship a year ago. Tough opponents, close losses, could easily be sitting 2-0, but they're not. They probably have to win out to make the playoffs, and he's making some internal changes. He's going to get more involved in some things, right?
It's difficult for me to lay this number with a team that has shown me a bunch of defensive issues. Now, the counter to that would be, well, they played Miami and A&M. Now you play Purdue, but I like Barry Odom a lot. And I know it's going to take him time to kind of get his thing going in West Lafayette. But you've seen this number, Joe, come down. I mean, this thing on the open was near 28. And now we're 25.5. BetMGM has 25.5. I see 25s. There's been an appetite to bet Purdue. You had an opportunity to go to this game, and you're not going. That should speak volumes, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I'm not interested. I think they should stomp them. But I understand the concern there because their secondary is god-awful. They lost a lot of talent back there, and it's not looking good going through changes. The new defense coordinator, Freeman, saying that he's going to be involved in the defense more. And on the other side, Brown threw for 300 yards last week. He's thrown for 300 yards in two of his three games. The season opener against Ball State, okay, I get it, it's Ball State, but last week it was against USC. Threw a few picks, but he has the ability. If they're trailing, it's going to be pass happy, and as weak as the secondary has been, maybe it can do enough to stay inside the number, but Notre Dame's going to want to just end this early, run all over them all day. Offense is not a problem for the Irish. You hit on it. It's that secondary, and that's going to be the concern every matchup. Do they have a quarterback that can go up and down the field on them? Joe O, Sammy P, Evan Silva, Establish the Run is next. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday night football coming your way. Not the most exciting game, but we've got a full week three slate to get you set for here in the National Football League. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, you've got BetSweats, BetMGM Network. We'll take a look at some dirty dogs, some bets that are very difficult to push the button on coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now, Evan Silva from Establish the Run joining us, establishtherun.com, at Evan Silva over on X. And Evan, you know, just a couple of weeks in, some of these skill position players, relatively healthy. We're not talking about these high-end receivers, running backs going down to injuries, but instead, we're talking about quarterbacks. You have definite backups, Cincinnati, Minnesota, New York Jets, and maybe the backup in San Francisco once again, maybe the backup in Washington. So how do you process all of this, whether we're talking about betting sides, totals, props, fantasy football? How do these quarterback injuries impact everything that you do?
Yeah, we've had a pretty clean sheet at wide receiver, running back, and tight end so far, but quarterback obviously is the most important position in all of pro sports, and the quarterback affects everything. And what I try to do is I just try to look at each situation on a case-by-case basis. You know, we have a decent sample size of Jake Browning having filled in for Joe Burrow from 2023. In Minnesota, we have a situation where the running back went down as well, Aaron Jones, and Carson Wentz is going to take over for J.J. McCarthy. I think they're just going to go really, really run-heavy, leaning on Jordan Mason. With the Jets, like, the offense really isn't going to change a ton going from Justin Fields to Tyrod Taylor, because Tyrod Taylor is also a dual threat. But again, they're going to try to run the ball with a lot of volume. That's what they want to do in the first place. They got a good offensive line. They got Breece Hall. They got Braylon Allen. They got Isaiah Davis. So I just try to take each situation on a case-by-case basis.
I thought I was really sharp, Evan, when I stashed away Jordan Addison in my draft, late in the draft, mind you, not like top eight rounds. But I stashed him, knowing full well he's suspended, and I will add him to the mix. And now I'm thinking, you idiot, what are you – why are you getting so cute taking Jordan Addison and stashing him? Now I got to deal with that And I don't know that that's the best move in the world. But I wanted to ask about one of the teams that Minnesota's played, and that's Chicago, a team that you're close to, obviously. We know Rose is allergic to building a pass rush. And now all these guys at linebacker and in the secondary, you're ending up on the injury report. How do you not just look at guys that are playing Chicago every week and just tee off, whether you're doing daily stuff or waiver wire?
That's just absolutely what you do. I think that the Bears might have the worst defense in the NFL when all is said and done in 2025. I mean, you can't rush the passer. You don't have any individual. Montez Sweat is not the guy that Ryan Poles paid him to be. You don't have dangerous individual pass rushers, and you just lost your best cornerback, Jalen Johnson. I don't know, the people on the radio here sound like he might be done for the season. Mm-hmm. And Kyler Gordon hasn't been healthy. TJ Edwards, he has an aggravation. Like, I think the Bears might have the worst defense in the NFL this year, and they certainly looked like it last week against Detroit. The first two NFC offensive players of the week, J.J. McCarthy and Jared Goff, both played against the Bears. Can we bet on NFC offensive player of the week? Because I want Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb.
That's a good call. Passing leader, receiving leader. We can go that route because those wouldn't be bad ideas. Oh man, it's going from bad to worse here. But yeah, with those injuries, you might be right. Just at the start of the season, the whole secondary going down. The total way up in that game, and you can certainly understand already up to 51. And I don't know that they're going to stop there, even though 51 is considered one of the key numbers.
I think you hit it now. I think you got to hit
now.
Yeah, I think so.
You still go 51?
Yeah, because Dallas has a bad defense too. I mean, I'm sure that Matt Eberflus is going to be pulling out all the stops. God, they kind of did him dirty going out the door here, I think, in Chicago a little bit, like making him almost look like a bad guy. He's going to pull out all the stops, but, I mean, they can't – they're in a similar situation to the Bears. I mean, the Cowboys don't really have a pass rush, and their cornerbacks are getting cooked, and they're missing Deron Bland. Kair Elam, their number two cornerback, has given up the most yards in the NFL through 2 weeks, and Trevon Diggs, when targeted, has allowed a perfect passer rating on throws into his coverage. So these might be the two worst defenses in the NFL, Dallas and Chicago.
What have you been impressed by offensively? Is there something that we weren't talking about in the summer that you are talking about now? You could take this anywhere you want.
It's absolutely the Indianapolis Colts. You know, 100%. The two guys that the two 2024 draft picks that they got to fill in for Ryan Kelly and Will Fries, the two offensive linemen that they let go to Minnesota, both those guys have done really good jobs. They have a really good offensive line again in Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor looks like the best running back in the NFL through two games. He hit 24 miles per hour or maybe 23 miles per hour last week on his long run, and that was the fastest time by a ball carrier since 2020, Raheem Mostert in 2020. That was a long time ago, guys, a half decade ago. Jonathan Taylor is cooking, and Daniel Jones, I mean, Shane Steichen is a really good play caller. I think it was easy to forget that because of the quarterbacks he's had to deal with over the last couple of years. He's a really good play caller. This is a really good situation for Daniel Jones. I don't think that anybody, including myself, saw this coming. He's the number two overall quarterback in fantasy football through 2 weeks.
Whew. Yeah, not a lot of people saw that. We knew he was a good coach, but then maybe people were thrown off a little bit with how poor Richardson was. And then you bring in Daniel Jones into this situation and look at what you have. Joe O. Sammy P. with Evan Silva, establish the run. Evan, at this point, on a Thursday morning, when I ask about your favorite side, is there a particular game that you have circled?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. The Patriots money line over the Steelers. Oh, I see both of you guys smiling. I like that. Plus 105 as of last night. And I also like the over in that game as well. I think that that's an interesting parlay. If you parlay the over in that game, which I think was 44.5 last time I looked, and Patriots money line, that's like plus 305, which that'd be a pretty nice payout. I think that the Steelers defense is cooked over there, and it's not just this season. It's going back deep into last season. The Steelers have allowed 28 points per game over the last 10 games. T.J. Watt doesn't have a sack in six games straight. They are extremely banged up throughout the defense. Joey Porter, Deshaun Elliott, Alex Highsmith now. Their first-round pick, Derek Harmon, has not played yet. So I think that this is a good spot for Drake May, Ramondre Stevenson. Travion Henderson is going to break out at any point. And then I also think that actually Aaron Rodgers can have a pretty good game against the Patriots defense, which has not yet reached its potential. So I like the over, and I like the Patriots outright.
We have seen for years, Evan, we've seen that total on Pittsburgh open low and get bet lower, just based on how good their defense was. But you finally, it took until week three, you're not seeing that under push. You're actually seeing an over push in the market. So they're with you. They look at the stats, the metrics. I also think I was smiling because I was down on New England coming into this year. I hate to put a lot of emphasis on one game, but if they go 0-2, it's a much different season. Winning that game was huge for that development of the quarterback, and now they get Pittsburgh, Carolina. You go to Buffalo, probably lose, but then you're at the Saints, at the Titans, home against the Browns. This really opens up for New England. I was anti-New England this year. I have them to miss the playoffs, but I feel like that week two win was a big deal for that young team.
Sure. And just the fact that the Dolphins defense is not good either. I mean, you want to talk about one of the worst defense in the league, that's another one. But the fact that they were able to be so successful offensively, I'm with you. I think it was really big. I was actually high on New England, and then I looked at, and I thought I was going to be maybe out on a limb with that. And then I looked at the win total market before the season, and like, the books were like on the Patriots to way out kick what they did last year. So I was actually not out on a limb being a little bit high on the Patriots entering the season. I'm a big Mike Vrabel believer.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Miami, missing a couple starters in that secondary. Okay, now go visit Josh Allen. Have fun with that. That's the scenario tonight, and it is by far the largest point spread on the board. There are some sharp books that have gone up to 13 Buffalo as the heavy favorite. I'm sure they'll be used in Survivor. Any props, any guys in fantasy that you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the obvious guys, obviously, you know, Josh Allen. I would say that Devon Achane, despite the crumbling team and organization that is the Dolphins, Devon Achane deserves to be considered an obvious guy. Devon Achane, like, you know, with the Dolphins projected to play from behind, the way that Devon Achane wins is in the receiving game primarily. Last year, in two games against Sean McDermott's defense, Devon Achane had 8 catches and 7 catches. So I think he's going to be really dynamic in the receiving game in this one. The less obvious guys are like Keon Coleman, who had a really big week one against the Ravens, although it primarily occurred in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's not necessarily something that you can fully trust, but the Dolphins are just so bad on the back end. I mean, they have one of the worst secondaries that I've ever seen, and they're without their number one cornerback, Storm Duck, which that's funny in and of itself that their number one cornerback is named Storm Duck. But he has a high ankle sprain. He won't be playing. And neither will their starting strong safety, Ifeatu Melifonwu. So I think this is a game where Keon Coleman can bounce back after a slow week two. And, you know, maybe a touchdown prop guy.
One more time. Ifeatu who?
Melifonwu.
See, I didn't even try it earlier. Evan, we're breaking down the game. I go, yeah, they're starting safeties out. They're missing a cornerback, Storm Duck. I didn't even try. Good on you.
We were looking at touchdown scores in the game, and, you know, Josh Allen's out to minus 170 to score, and you're like, damn, that's no fun. That didn't take long. Cooks minus 160. Achane, even money isn't bad, but if you were looking for a touchdown deep dive, is there anybody on the deep end of Buffalo or maybe on the high side of Miami that you like?
Yeah, actually, yes. Ray Davis. So he got a little bit more usage. And I know that Joe Brady loves this guy. Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, he was pounding the table for them to draft Ray Davis like rounds before they wound up taking him in the 2024 draft. And this is a game where, you know, the Bills are at home. They are favored by 2 touchdowns, I believe. Almost 2 touchdowns?
Yep, almost. Almost.
And that adds up to a game where the Bills can jump out to an early lead and feed Ray Davis. So I like Ray Davis on like showdown slates on, you know, for DFS and also as a deep dive touchdown bet.
Okay. Anytime touchdown for Davis, he's plus 450.
Okay.
And I know Paul Aspen is hearing that, our producer, and he's like, I'm thinking last touchdown of the game, 20-1 over at BetMGM for last.
I like betting that too. I like betting that kind of stuff too. The last touchdown, you can get some really nice odds. That's fun when that hits. I mean, you feel like a genius.
For sure.
We may have jammed some Will Shipley last touchdown bets in the playoffs last year.
For sure. And the fantasy football front, I know you're in a million leagues, but is there a particular player or two this week that you were adding to as many teams as you could?
I'm dropping Evan Ingram everywhere. He's done.
Okay.
I would say, gosh, I don't write our waiver wire article. If I wrote our waiver wire, I would know right away.
Okay.
Bashaul Tootin should be owned everywhere already. How about Taj Brooks, 6th-round rookie from Cincinnati? Chase Brown has kind of gotten off to a slow start. Some people in the scouting community, I think, were higher on Taj Brooks than his draft position indicated. And I think that it would not be Samaje Perine. If Chase Brown were to go down or start to lose work, it would not be Samaje Perine, who is a specific type of player. Taj Brooks, I think, would be next in line for work. If I come up with somebody else, though, yes. All right, this is a decent one. Kendra Miller, who is the clear-cut Saints number 2 running back, and he should be available in a lot of leagues. Saints aren't going to be good this year, but I think that they're going to trade Alvin Kamara. I think that they are definitely going to trade Alvin Kamara, maybe to the Chiefs. Wouldn't that be fun? I think that by the end of the season, Kendra Miller will be the Saints' clear-cut lead running back.
I'm going to get him right now. You watch.
Yeah. And everything goes through Kamara. We know that. All right, good stuff. Evan Silva, establishtherun.com at Evan Silva over on X. Evan, always appreciate it. Looking forward to visiting with you again, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Evan. Good stuff there, man. Got some strong opinions, too. Bears and Cowboys might be the two worst defenses in the NFL, and they're going to be facing off this week at Soldier Field. Joe O, Sammy P, Dirty Dogs next, 10 toes down, top of the hour. BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good stuff from Evan Silva. If you're in deep fantasy leagues, gave you a couple of ideas there. Strong opinions. How about New England money line? I was chuckling, not because I don't think we're in agreement with him, but he made some fair points about that Steelers defense, which we have talked about. Boy, another soft matchup for that Patriots offense. They get the Steelers defense. We didn't think it was going to be this bad at this point in the season, but you've always had – the first couple weeks, you had strong opinions anti-Patriots, but I haven't heard you talk about the Patriots. That's why I was chuckling as far as that matchup goes.
He did call it. He's like, you're both smiling. And I have not one time this week said that I'm going to the Steelers well. In fact, when we did power rankings yesterday, I was selling the Steelers. because, look, you come into a season and you think, all right, let's look at this Patriots schedule. I had them losing week one. I talked about that for 3 months, and they did, and they looked bad. But then you go to Miami and you think, all right, they could lose this one, and then the Steelers' defense is going to shut it down in week three. And they could be 0-3, but they very realistically are going to be 2-1. And I hate to put a lot of stock into one win. Like, it didn't change how I feel about the young Patriots team. They're going to have some bumps and bruises, but you have such a margin for error when you, after this game, if you win against Pittsburgh and you're 2-1, then you get Carolina, come to Foxborough. You go to Buffalo, that's a loss. Then you go to New Orleans, Tennessee. You could win both. You could. I think to ask a second-year quarterback to go on the road and win two is not exactly easy. But let's call that a split. Then you're home against Cleveland and home against Atlanta. It's a very favorable schedule, which we always sort of knew. I mean, this is not a surprise. The schedule didn't sneak up on us. But I think that win against Miami was huge for that locker room and huge for the morale. And Vrabel running down the sidelines with Gibson as he's taking that kick back to the house. I don't, again, it didn't save their season, but 1-1 and 0-2 in the NFL with a young team is night and day. And that was a very, very resilient win. They're down in the third quarter. They're down in the fourth quarter on the road with a very young offense. And to get out of there with a win was respect. Like, I respect what they did in Miami. And I think we talked about this on Monday, of course. But now you look at that Steelers team, and Jesus. I mean, what is going on defense there? I was talking about this yesterday on one of the shows that I do throughout the week. I know it's only been a two-week sample size, but they're 29th in points and 29th in yards. And they've faced Justin Fields and Sam Darnold. Not like they faced Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, you know? So you know what McDaniel's going to do? He's going to run the ball. They're going to use those short passes in the flat to the running backs, Henderson and Stevenson, and they're going to try and put Drake May in positions to succeed. I thought it was also interesting that Evan was talking about the over in that game. But the Steelers are 2-0 to the over, so I guess it makes sense. Their defense can't stop anything, and their offensive line is a problem, big time.
A quick update on the game for tonight. You hinted at this earlier on in the show, and we saw a move about 20 minutes ago. The sharp offshore book that a lot of people reference because they want to see what's happening with the number. Pinnacle moved from 13 to 11.5 about 20 minutes ago, joining the rest of the market. There are also 11s out there. It is Dolphins money coming in this morning here on game day, which I find quite interesting. I don't get the sense that they're just trying to get it to a specific number and then they're going to come in on the other side. Like they're betting a dog here.
Yeah, these are the sides that historically get home. We mentioned the stat off the top. When you start 0-2 ATS, these teams are generally cashing in that third week ATS. Again, not a massive sample size, but over 100 games. That's a lot. That's a lot for sample for me. You'd like to see, obviously, 100 or 1,000 in that deal, but this database has 62 and 39 ATS when teams are dogs in week three that are 0-2 ATS. And there's three of them this week, actually. The Dolphins tonight, the Broncos against the Chargers, and the Texans. The Texans play, Texans are home against the Titans. No, that's 2 weeks from now. Texans have, I forget who the Texans have, but those are the three teams. Jaguars, okay, Jacksonville, there you go. But those are the three teams that fit into that pocket. 0-2, they're dogs in week three. Those teams are 61% ATS. Dolphins, yep. Broncos, Texans this week.
I'm completely thrown off because in the Ramley thread, Paul sent the foot that was removed from the open for 10 toes down. I just can't.
I didn't look at it yet. Should I click it now?
Yeah, click it. What is the
reaction? Okay, I'll click it now. I have literally 20 tabs open, and I typed in Houston in my odds logic screen, and it took me to Sunday, September 28th for no reason. There's a million things going on here, if you can't already tell. All right, let me hit this. I'm hitting play right now on the Bet Sweats video. Oh, that's very loud. Oh, no, that's the foot? No, you can't use that.
Well, that's why Paul's an executive. He made that decision, that executive decision. Nope, not doing that foot. 1 foot fine.
Don't want to see feet, those curly, nasty, red pointed toes. No, I'm good.
Gertz picking bad feet.
Oh,
okay, enough. Come on, man.
Nobody needs that.
Why?
No.
You're trying to grow the video stream, not the opposite. So like people aren't going to come back ever again.
So Paul made the executive decision. He made the call because in the video that I just watched, and I'm already feeling my breakfast coming back up, you see the first pair of feet, and I'm like, oh, I recognize those feet. And then I'm scrolling. Ah! So Paul decided executively that he's just going to wipe the second set of feet. We kept the first set.
Good
but
move.
The second set got 66th.
Yeah.
I watched
or 86
twice.
And 86. Both times.
Audibly. Just, ooh. Same reaction you had. I was like, we can't do this. But we just saw them now. So that's great.
So good. We still get them to the people. I like it. All right. Let's get some dirty dogs. Dogs that are tough. Tough to get to the window on. It just feels so gross. Oh, I can't bet it. I can't bet it. Oh, yes, you can. You can do anything in life. You can bet on these underdogs, and all these favorites are getting home. When we talk dirty dogs, Sam, what's the one game that comes to mind first? Which side?
Do I have to do money line, or can I do ATS?
ATS is fine.
Cleveland. It's Cleveland for me. I already bet 8.5. I despise it. It makes me want to shower. And by the way, the reason I said 66 and not 86 is because that's the executive order in Star Wars when they kill all the young Jedis. 66. Anyways, Cleveland. Cleveland to me gets home this weekend. I'm not going to say outright, but I have taken 8.5 on the Browns. What could go wrong there, Joe?
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. I've heard a lot of sharp people that like the Browns in this spot. And I guess it's off of last week. It's a route. And it's hard to go against Green Bay right now. So, yeah, that's a tough one. But I wonder if we'll get there on a contest tomorrow. I think we might. We might be in agreement as a show on that side as that number's going up. There's another one that jumps out to me that is going in that direction. Not as high of a number, but I certainly think it qualifies as a dirty dog. Let's fade Daniel Jones and the Colts. And let's look at the Titans. Is this not the definition of a dirty dog? It was 3.5 earlier this week. Now I see 4. Now we're touching 4.5 at some spots. I don't know how high this number is going to go. It's kind of in that den zone right now. Now that once you get past 4, like, is it going to go to 5.5? Is it going to get to 6? But bets, I think, are difficult to pull the trigger on. Rookie quarterback, they haven't looked great in either game. Now, they covered the first week, not so much last week, but they did hang around for a half. They were leading for a half against the Rams. The Colts are the talk of the NFL. As crazy as that is, Daniel Jones is and Steichen, great of a coach, and right now he's getting that steam for Coach of the Year. You understand why. Are they a great offense? Is this going to be short-lived? Nobody seems to know. But we've got a divisional home dog of more than a field goal. And I think they're a team that's going to be tough to pull the trigger on. Who popped their head in? Did you see that?
I think that's Jeff Schwartz. I don't know. Like I said, there's a million things going on right here. 6'6", 330-pound Jeff Schwartz saying peekaboo to the door. I don't know why. I'll find out during the break.
He's still pissed that they didn't cover against Northwestern. I get it.
Yeah, I know. Look, I understand the handicap on Tennessee because they have played two pretty decent defenses, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could argue top defenses in the NFL. I still don't think they're good. But you have a lot of things that fit into that wise guy window, I'll call it. You have the Colts, who people are riding high on. Colts going on the road, and the Titans are 0-2 straight up. So those are a lot of things that wise guys would look to bet. And on the ceiling of the market, I don't think the 4.5s are going to last. I don't think we're going to get to 5. You asked about pushback. I think you do get it at 4.5 on Tennessee. And I like the Colts. I'm buying stock. I'm not laying this number on the road week 3.
Man, you go from Sean Payton to McVay to Steichen. That's rough, especially when you're Callahan and he stinks. That's what makes this a dirty dog. That's what makes this the hardest bet to make.
Yep.
Anything
dirtiest
else
dog is the out? Giants. I mean, dirtiest dog is the Giants, if you can get there. I'm not there yet. Too. I'm trying to stomach only one dirty dog. And for me, as I've said all week, it's Cleveland. But another filthy, filthy dog, New York Giants, Sunday Night Football at home.
Saints got that dirty water, too. You're going to take Rattler on the road in Seattle against that defense?
Nope.
7.5? I'm not doing it either. It's tough to get there. So we gave out a couple that we, I think, could bet, could get there, and then a couple, no chance. You know, they're dirty dogs for a reason. Joe O, Sammy P, 10 toes down on the other side, the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.